When you find Judges chapter 3, if you'll stand, I'll read to you verses 5 through 8, and then we'll have the message given by Pastor Downey. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot that the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served that king for 8 years. You may be seated. And Mark, come on up and give us the second part.
Well, good morning, everybody. The title of the message is Baal Worship in Judeo-Churchianity, and this is part two. Well, how would you feel if you spent years working on a degree to enter a certain profession? Spent more time and energy on materials and promotion of this business, and built up a clientele that was helped immensely. And within a couple of weeks, you lost 80% of your customer base through no fault of your service to the community or malfeasance or adverse side effects, but rather for what you believed in. How would you feel about that? I would feel that there was a great travesty and injustice. This is what happened to a Christian Identity friend of mine who wishes to remain anonymous, who is now forced to move and restart his business elsewhere. As his business grew, word of mouth spread how beneficial his business was. What was unique about this situation is that the recipients of this benefit had something in common. They were not only Judeo-Christians, but were associated with a group that Pastor Elmore talked about recently. They are a multi-million dollar corporation that has a radical and twisted focus on the creation of Genesis, which has as its main agenda the thesis that all races came from Adam and Eve, and after a global flood at the time of Noah, a repeat performance of fast-track evolution happened again. Their mission statement says they generously give Christian love, unless, of course, they are challenged with uncompromising integrity, which they say they have also. They are uncompromising, but they have very little integrity. Their answers in Genesis aren't answers at all. Mad Magazine even gave honorable mention to this weird Christian cult as one of the dumbest things in the year 2007 by saying, "They don't merely challenge science, they ignore it completely." It's only place in the world you can see where a man is riding bareback on a dinosaur. Except, of course, in an old episode of the Flintstones. Whatever this fantasy organization lacks in harmonizing science with the Word of God, it makes up for with lots of money. To play a shell game, allegedly to fight the evils of Darwinian evolution, but in reality is nothing but a propaganda tool for race mixing. In fact, its hierarchy is riddled with the sin of miscegenation and therefore tries to justify what the Bible calls fornication or interracial marriage, which was explained a couple of weeks ago in part one. Well, my Christian identity, friend, it's a call one day from one of these creationist ministers who extols the virtues of fornication and point blank asked him, "Are you a white supremacist?" As if that's the worst thing in the world. And that was the beginning of the end for my friend's business. The cascade of cancellations began rolling in. You know, I have to ask myself, is this the kind of country we live in where political correctness can ruin a white man's means to earn an honest living? There is a biblical argument for a boycott, but it is always the idea of separation from evil, avoiding any activity that God would not approve of. In Christian societies of the past, white people knew that separation of the races was commanded by God. But in modern times, the church has concocted the idea of loving the sinner but hating the sin. Well, what changed? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the creature more than the Creator? To put it another way, who changed the truth of creation to include all creatures or races into God's plan of the ages? You only, this is God talking, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Amos 3:2. God is saying there is only one race of people who are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This, of course, is alluding to Hosea's exclusive prophetic discourse to Israel, which Don and I covered earlier this last summer. What we have here is a case of cognitive dissonance, where two opposing ideas coexist to usher in the worship of Baal. But you cannot serve two masters. And that means you will either be loyal to God or getting rich with false gods. You can't be opposed to evolution and then say all races evolved from one parent in a shorter period of time than even Darwin could imagine. only the institution of bail would or could castigate a nonconformist to their illicit doctrines as a racist. It is Baal worship that should be condemned and boycotted, not those of us who obey God's commandments and separate ourselves from the heathen, meaning non-white aliens. One of the creationist spokesmen said, "What Darwinian evolution did, I would say, is provide what people thought was a scientific justification for separation of the races." End quote. No. The justification for separation of the races comes from God. Amen. "They shall not dwell in thy land." Is that separate enough for you? "Lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." Exodus 23:33. These gods are Baal. And the Baal worship justify fornication. In 1 Corinthians 5:9, Paul gives an explicit admonition, which he exhorted before in his letters, not to associate with fornicators or race mixers. This is the same context of Israel whoring after the strange gods of strangers that led them into bondage. The whoredom is race mixing. In verse 13, it says, "Therefore, expel the wicked from among yourselves." This is telling us who is boycotting who. But the Baal worshippers of Judeo-Christianity don't realize, because they can't recognize, that they are the wicked purveyors of whoredom. My friend had no hard feelings. Having come out of the Babylonian church himself, he truly exemplifies a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But he's gotten a taste of the cruelty and brutal authority that modern Pharisees exert over their followers. They offered him no due process of Matthew 18, which requires Christian men to resolve their disputes. But maybe they're not really Christians. I suggested that he sue them for defamation. But he cited that brethren are not to go at law with each other, lest we go to court before unbelievers. Well, I must admit, it would be rather difficult to go into today's courtroom arguing against multiculturalism, even if the judge were white. And no doubt he would probably be a Freemason. That's how far removed we are from God's jurisdiction. The Baal priestcraft afforded my friend no biblical justice other than a phone call demanding whether he was a white supremacist. There was no, "Come and let us reason together." As God's chosen, Saxon Israel has the received word. No other race has known them. This is confirmed in Psalms 147:20. And if my friend were given the opportunity to prove all things, they would not be well received by those who cannot hear the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Which means there will be those who purport to be Christians to whom Christ will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. When many are called, but few are chosen, it may imply that we are called to understand the Creator better than the creatures, and that God is dealing with only one race that have the ears to hear Him. The Lord said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. To the Baal-orientated mindset, this proposition is absolutely repugnant. They would go so far as to deprive a fellow believer in Jesus Christ his livelihood and run a righteous man out of town. These churches don't even want to use the word race, as they don't think that the Bible could ever be racist. In fact, these churches would be more in line with equal opportunity deities as they celebrate diversity through interfaith councils and affiliations. This is straight out of the Baal handbook, entertaining pantheism. Not only the Bible that has no other deity besides the Lord God Almighty. And so they train their children in the ways of Baal, and when they get old, they will not depart from it and can marry outside their race and have mongrel children. Baal worship is as pervasive and innocuous as Christmas and Easter. More paganism. We don't react violently to the religious arsenic that is a slow subversion to faith and history. We don't have revolutionary pulpits to keep the government in check. When an enemy can slander George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, saying they sired mongrel half-breeds, where's the outrage after it's proven wrong and slanderous? You might find a retraction in the back page after the damage has been done. Where are the Elijahs protesting a 30-foot rock monolith in Washington, D.C., adorned with hundreds of trees, competing with the best groves of ancient Baal, memorializing and deifying the Negro communist agitator Martin Luther King? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. This will become a popular magnet for those who would bow down at the feet of a black god. It's all because of Baal worship that has changed white Christian America into an alien cesspool. Our society is infected with an uncivilized virus that comes in the name of religion, which has no respect for life or property, and maligns the liberty our founding fathers intended for us to have. All you have to do is look at the demographic hell holes in major American cities like Detroit, St. Louis, and ask yourself, what religion are they following? In Bouvier's Law Dictionary, Christianity is defined as the religion established by Jesus Christ. It has been judiciously declared to be part of the common law in several states. To write or speak contemptuously and maliciously against it is an indictable offense. There's some objection, especially from Christian Identity, to the oxymoron Judeo-Christian, for lack of a better term, to describe the emasculated and decadent state of the American church. Christianity does not need to be hyphenated with anything unless it is masquerading as Christian. Well, the better term should be Baal worship. But it isn't used because most people don't know what it is. And if they knew the real Jesus as a racial kinsman redeemer, they would switch in a heartbeat to Hinduism or Baal that corresponds to their religion of tolerance and equality. Unless they decide to turn to the truth and change their thinking. In a word, repent! Most churchgoers are either Republicans or Democrats, liberals or conservatives. But most of them have been charmed by the trappings of Baal worship. Liberalism is, by and large, a sanitized retread of an antiquated mythology, one that predates the primitive church of Christianity. It aims its faith toward the rituals of convenience with the intent to produce economic prosperity by prompting their god into action. The fertility gods have been replaced by reproductive freedom or choice. Child sacrifice via burnt offerings has been modernized by way of abortion. The ritualistic promotion of sexual immorality has been whitewashed through comprehensive sex education. And the pantheistic worship of Mother Earth has been substituted for radical environmentalism. This is liberalism all dolled up and gratuitously labeled Christian in the guise of social justice. The kind of Marxist socialism that Obama would be proud to wear on his sleeve. They send their colorblind missionaries to third world nations, giving that which is holy to the dogs, as they mimic the Catholic strategy to adopt indigenous pagan concepts into Christianity. The liberal media is quick to elevate the World Council of Churches and their ilk to catching up with the times. This does not absolve any other Christian leaders from their duty to renounce these anti-biblical heretics who have a pro-gay, pro-abortion, and global warming agenda by the modern-day Baal worshipers. The gods of liberalism have a new high priest in Barack Obama and will vote again in spite of peeling back the mask of Baal. Well, conservatives are not off the hook either. They gravitate to the worship of wealth and materialism and prefer the mega church preaching a gospel of prosperity. Or perhaps a religious couch potato can stay at home and covet the golden opulence of a TBN world on TV. They go to the other extreme, turning to a false Christ who would sanction greed and selfishness. Christ implored his followers to be good stewards, to love, do mercy and justice. But that's hard to do if the god of self, and that's what Baal is all about, it's self-centeredness, gets behind the kind of government that has abandoned patriotism for want of the almighty dollar, supporting a system that pollutes and profits significantly from the destruction of God's creation and the poisoning of his children. After 9/11, God Bless America bumper stickers started showing up everywhere. But the desire for God to fill up their wallets with cash or killing every terrorist, which included homeschoolers, as dictated by Bush or now Obama, is not how God works. When it comes to blessing, we are not blessed by murder or being rich. But according to Acts 3:26, to you first, God sent his servant, blessing you by turning every one of you from his sins. We can't buy or kill somebody to remove our iniquities, can we? People can't build a multi-million-dollar museum to Baal and then call it Christian and have the hope of being righteous. How can any Christian be part of the GOP that has a homosexual group known as the Log Cabin Republicans? Where were these conservatives when Antichrist removed and carted off the Ten Commandments from public buildings? But the most egregious transgression of conservative Christians is their unfettered allegiance to the neocons, who represent the pantheism of Judaism and bring one Jewish war after another, eternal peace through eternal death and destruction. It is the worship of the big lie and its byproduct, strong delusion. From an ecumenical perspective, Baal worship is conducive to the idea of all denominations merging into a one world religion. This is what the Catholic Church did for thousands of years until its corruption was precipitated by a Protestant Reformation. We catch a peculiar revelation from the Pergamon Museum in Germany, with ancient stone relics on display showing the pagan god Dagon. Baal is sometimes called the son of Dagon, who was half fish and half man, also known in other mythologies as Neptune, whose priests would adorn themselves as Dagon upon their bodies. Without this clear evidence, the Pope of Rome, wearing his episcopal mitre, that tall thing on his head, a truncated hooded hat split at the top, is none other than Dagon. When viewed horizontally, is an open-mouthed fish head. It would have remained nothing more than a quaint piece of headwear. But once secure in the ignorance of the masses, popes for centuries could officiate in whatever vestment they chose. In placing this version of Dagon's mitre upon the pope's head, we are being told whom he really represents. And upon the mitre are the Latin words, Vicarius Filii Dei, Latin, which does not mean the vicar of Christ, but rather substituting for or in place of the Son of God. And with this blasphemy begins the wholesale invasion of paganism and a parade of heathen deities enshrined within the very heart of the so-called church. The gates of hell have prevailed against the many disguises of Baal worship because God will not have it. The land of Canaan was devoted to the worship of Baal, and the enemies of Israel were as evil as the Bible claims. And there is no reason to believe that God's wrath will not wipe them out for good at the end of this age. This message is an appeal from heaven for our loved ones to come out of Mystery Babylon that permeates most churches today. God's intention for the white race, Israel, was for them to be separated and faithful people, remaining undefiled by the heathen and their ways. God would not tolerate race mixing any more than deity mixing. And he hasn't changed one bit to this day, in spite of the priestcraft that says otherwise. If 99% of the churches say mix, that doesn't mean they're right. It means they are in rebellion to what God says otherwise. The tragedy of our race is that much of our people's faith has been prostituted by admixtures. Christ is returning to his bride, and never once does Scripture say that the church is the bride. The bride has always been the race of Israel. Quote, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he showed me that great city, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel." When a confused society is looking for answers, how can a mixed bag of Babylonian derivatives be a light unto the world? Calling upon the name Jesus Christ and not doing what he says is following another Christ, another gospel, and is the confusion of Baal. False gods cannot resolve perplexing questions or problems, but they can pander to the idea of the heart and generate millions of dollars. I'm sorry, but this small fellowship of God's covenant people does not cater to the lust of the world, nor can it if we have the love of truth. This is the reason why the Word forbids us to try and serve two masters at the same time. After all, Jesus only wants one faithful virgin, clean and white, as his bride, not a whore arrayed in filthy rags of unrighteousness who disregard his commands. What concord hath Christ with Belial, another name for Baal? Unless you're a completely brain-dead universalist, Jesus and Mary in the Roman Catholic Church are Baal and Ashtaroth, making paganism both acceptable and profitable merchandise. Using Christian terminology means nothing if one is trying to establish a pagan foundation. Is it Jesus or Baal that encourages race mixing? That gives away God's promises to everybody. That refuses to crucify the flesh on the cross. That is spending $270 million on a recreation of Noah's Ark, while the poor are getting poorer, losing their jobs and homes. This can only be the insanity of self-aggrandizement, the epitome of apostasy, having no concerns for the word of Christ. Their spiritual drunkenness builds upon the whoredoms of Baal. I think it's important to mention how our knowledge of the Baal system has evolved over time. There are several sources for understanding the social and religious life of the Canaanites, which include the Old Testament, several Greek writers, and the archaeological discoveries at Ras Shamra. There are a total of 139 references to these pagan deities in the Old Testament. In these passages, such things are noted as the high places where they practiced Baal worship, Israel's preoccupation with Baal worship at certain points in her history, and the occultic practices of the Baal priest and prophets. While this information is helpful, the Bible does not provide a complete picture, but rather makes it a direct controversy worthy of denunciation. Although accurate and justified, it lacks the raw academics of a blow-by-blow description. Now, there's been tremendous archaeological excavations all around the Mediterranean region since the early part of the last century, identifying places of worship, temples, shrines, and open-air sanctuaries. They have found cult objects, idols, and other artifacts related to Baal. But the real value of this evidence is realized when written records accompany the unwritten sources. We had no clear firsthand knowledge of the Canaanites, but that changed dramatically in 1929 with the discovery of the Rosh Shamra text. From that time of discovery to the present, the finds have been well documented. There are literally thousands of texts that have been found in Ugarit, an ancient port city in northern Syria, which was destroyed around 1190 BC and rediscovered by a peasant farmer plowing a field, dislodging an entrance to a burial chamber. Now, Ugarit was a flourishing city carrying on business on an international level. And these texts, as one piece of the grand puzzle, tend to confirm and corroborate the witnesses of the Old Testament writers. It is from these texts that the depravity and the decadence concerning the Canaanite pantheon and cult of Baal is ultimately derived. The descriptions of sexual immorality are consistent with what we know from Moses writing about the grievous sin of Israel bowing to the knee of Baal in Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3. It would appear, then, that the Canaanite worshipers sunk to the moral levels of the deities they worshipped. And isn't that the testimony of history? That one becomes what one worships? We become what we are committed to? It's interesting to note that the many centers of Baal were culturally advanced and highly educated. And yet its most notable feature was the high incidence of child sacrifice. Entire burial grounds full of clay jars used to hold the remains of slaughtered children have been found by modern archaeological digs. As barbaric as this sounds, it is not much different than modern-day abortions, with the exception that our society doesn't honor or bury the children that are aborted. These highly civilized people, abounding in refinements and luxuries, met together to invoke the blessings of heaven on their empire by throwing hundreds of infants into a large furnace. The frequency of child sacrifice, even in the face of considerable intellectual advances, actually increased until it suddenly stopped altogether. How did it stop? It came to a screeching halt when God judged these sinners of pathological vice and horror. The Roman armies easily invaded lethargic and cowardly societies, destroying the entire Baal civilization. The stark ruins are a testimony that God is not mocked. So we must ask ourselves, how far are we from our own well-deserved judgment from the God of wrath? It would seem that the parable of the tares would be an appropriate payback. Gathering them who offend and casting them into a furnace of fire? Who is living in the lap of luxury today at the expense of those who are poor in the spirit, living from paycheck to paycheck? Do you believe Obama is going to tax the millionaires and billionaires to pay their fair share? They bought him. He's their boy. He might as well be an android. You know, I love the timing of God's providence. In 1929, the Canaanites of Wall Street engineered the crash of our economy. Just at the same time as archaeologists were discovering ancient secrets of the Canaanite religion at Ras Shamra. Leading up to 1929, from the 19th century, was a traitorous priestcraft of occultic luminaries that would incorporate Baal worship into the Christian church. Cyrus Schofield, John Darby, Joseph Smith, Ellen G. White, many, many more. And as these wolves in sheep's clothing began to rise, God likewise gave an increase in our knowledge of Baal worship to equip the saints to fight it. To fight it and the rising tide of color, the browning of America, and the indelible stain of darkness upon those Saxon Israelites once again bowing their knees to Baal. Roe versus Wade, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s, the 501c3 state-sanctioned church, the legalization of same-sex marriage, the Noahide laws, the ethic of greed is good, the Bohemian Grove, the insanity of Christmas, genetically modified organisms, and on and on and on it goes. But I think you get the idea. The Christianity is under attack. It's a Jewish conspiracy to brainwash our people to commit racial suicide. And even that contention is a well-guarded secret, cushioned with Talmudic sophistry. Our nation race is being destroyed from within. Have you noticed the increasing decline in American politics? Every president since Woodrow Wilson should have been impeached. Nobody has ever been tried for treason. The worst president ever now occupies the White House and is probably behind Occupy Wall Street, yet another Marxist dialectic to control the opposition. And I believe that is why God is raising up a remnant to defy the Baal industry. The Christian identity movement is moving against the bold liars of Mystery Babylon, a religious economic consortium of Judeo-Christianity, and we are moving against them with the truth of Jesus Christ. God will again bring a reprobate apostasy to a sudden end. The high places of Baal will be brought down. the Genesis usurpers of rampant universalism. Better start shopping for a good asbestos choir rope as their world begins to crumble around them and things begin to heat up. It's going to get worse, but not for us, because we're looking at it from God's perspective. We are going to get through the darkness and into His marvelous light. I don't want to leave this message hanging on a negative note. Someone asked me, "Why is your identity thing so negative about everything?" And the answer is, quote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The cup of iniquity is full of abominations. The valley is full of Baals. A dutiful watchman warns his kindred of the approaching storm. Do you kill the weatherman because you don't like the dark clouds on the horizon?" Look at the two following passages together. "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Galatians 4:16. And then John 8:32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We know who our enemies are. When seemingly well-educated and prosperous churchgoers turn their minds off to the mention of race, as if it didn't exist, and then have the audacity to play this head game of guilt just for being white. Tell these same liberal and/or conservative integrationists in South Africa that race has nothing to do with their once great white Christian nation turning into a gutted wasteland. America is catching up with their murder and mayhem. You can almost smell the smoke of burning cities. I become their enemy because I refuse to roll over and play dead. Vice President Joe Biden said last week that if Congress didn't spend $35 billion on a jobs bill to allegedly hire more thugs for an encroaching police state, that there would be more murders, rapes, and crime. Well, some upstart media scribe asked the VP if it was appropriate for his office to blackmail Congress under the threat or promise of increasing murders and rape. And Joe's response was, "Don't screw around with me." All of these bailouts, I'd spell that with a B-A-A-L, outs. They are a last-ditch effort to save the Baals and to screw the last vestige of true Christianity. But the good news is that they will fail. And if you're a Christian, the fall of Babylon is a positive thing. Jesus told his disciples to feed my sheep. The sheep in that valley of toxic Baal worship are malnourished. Some are diseased with dementia, and others might as well be brain dead. Perhaps some of the lost sheep of the house of Israel will hear this message, or a ripple effect from it, and, quote, work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. We're not saved by osmosis, but by making ourselves a new heart, by entering the straight gate, to repent or change. Don't think this work can't happen because the Lord ascended unto heaven. For it is God that works in you. And we will be held accountable. Don't think that you can build a museum or build a replica of Noah's Ark and also think that you can bear false witness against a righteous man of God. The identity truth, or if you want to call it God's white supremacy policy, will always be superior to the inferior trappings of Baal worship that changes the truth of God into a lie, where creations kind after kind no longer exist. The idea of mongrelization was as repugnant to Ezra and Nehemiah, who commanded God's people to put away the strange wives and children, even as it is today. A curse, actually in contempt of God's law. The Bible tells us that God married Israel alone. God got divorced because she committed adultery with the gods of other races, the Baals. But there's going to be a remarriage. The principle that the Bible-believing Christian should never forget is that what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. But that is exactly what Baal worship does. And guess what? When we rid our land of the evil, there's nothing more negative to talk about. Baal worship is evil in that it breaks in pieces. It spoils and decays what should otherwise be whole as God intended. Our race is held together by separation and being torn apart by integration. You can either rid the land of the head, that is, the mind of Christ, in which nothing will change except further deterioration of society, or you can get rid of the tail, which is symbolic of mindlessness. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The kingdom of heaven will not be integrated, because God does not violate his own law. We will be able to walk down the street safely, have our children at playgrounds without the trepidation of pedophiles lurking about, our doors unlocked and open for friends. What vision do Baal worshipers offer? A homogenized brotherhood of man in which no pure race remains? Maybe they should build an ark, because the same things that preceded the flood are repeating themselves today. Rampant race mixing and gross immorality. But Noah, it says, was perfect in his generations, meaning that he didn't mix. I think this new ark will not float. God has anything to do with it, and is probably more akin to the RMS Titanic. But don't fear for our kingdom. Let the Baal priest fear for theirs. I pray that white Christian America stop serving the Baals. If they can't even see it, I pray that their eyes be opened so that they can. I pray that our people come out of institutional Baalism, start serving the God of Israel, and live. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Well, let's do what Christian identity does best and identify, which is why we're so hated by those whose fingerprints are matched to the crime scene. One does not necessarily know that they're a Baal worshiper unless someone can show them that the elements correspond to what they practice. I wish it were as easy as someone praying to a piece of a carved wood or rock, but it's much more complicated than that. The idols of the heart are from within, and that sets the stage for what comes out of a man and defiles him. Are you a white supremacist? Is the kind of loaded question that just can't wait to level the charge of racist, irrespective of proper Bible study. It's a polluted communication coming out of the mouth of a Baal worshiper, calling good evil and evil good, and renders men loathsome to God and liable to his perfect judgments. There are 12 elements to Baal worship, and I will proceed through lawful discovery to provide you, the jury, with a preponderance of exhibits in the next installment of this short series. There will be no doubt as to who is right in the eyes of God, just like it was thousands of years ago. Thank you.